You heard him sing it. It's called Imagine. John Lennon sang it. You remember how the words went? Well, it's something we're going to be talking a little bit about today on Law and Gospel on this Friday, July the 15th. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. And we're taking a look at a number of items. It is Open Mic Friday. Listen to the words. Imagine by John Lennon.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky.
Listening to Law and Gospel, we'll talk about it.
No hunger.
No hunger.
A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one.
And the world will live as one. John Lennon, of course, assassinated some years ago. Very sad situation for many people who like the Beatles. I have to say, I was a big Beatles fan, still am. In fact, my son just returned to me some Beatles cards. They're like baseball cards. Why did I like the Beatles so much? Well, not only were they one of the finest groups ever produced, The instrumentation and the machines used to put out were really mind-boggling. Plus, they had done over 10,000 hours of practice in Great Britain. Remember, I talked about this in a book called Blink, that if you do anything for 10,000 hours, you're probably going to be able to make a wage out of it, whether it's music, carpentry, or whatever. You really get good. The other reason I really like the Beatles is because they really spoke to the way people thought. Like, I want to hold your hand. That's what a lot of boyfriends and girlfriends like to do. But Imagine was really kind of interesting. If you listen closely from God's point of view, there's really not that much that God would disagree with. What? Well, would God agree with any of it? Well, if you've listened at all to listener-supported KFUO radio for any length of time, one of the things we criticize is religion. We define religion as that which comes out of the mind of man, taking a look at his experience and his worldview, and every religion ends up with the devil as God. Christianity really isn't a religion from that point of view. It's really the only faith that exists of the true God. There is no other religion that even comes close to Jesus Christ. A lot of people are saying we need to be tolerant about various religions. The fact is you cannot agree with Christianity and any other religion because they totally contradict each other. I have yet to find a religion in the world that doesn't promise salvation on the basis of your effort, your works, your thoughts, your words, your sacrifices, your sufferings, etc., etc. Only in Christianity do we find the true God who saves you freely. I'm just having all kinds of fun at our store at 2126 Woodson for those of you in the St. Louis area. And I'll be there tomorrow morning between 9 and noon for sure, unless something happens. But be that as it may, the conversations we're having are just really wonderful. As people come in and they get to know I'm a pastor, I'm on the radio, I'm selling a lot of religious material as well as other items like furniture, clothing, dishes, glasses, etc. And they begin to talk about their faith. And my goal is really to get them confused over what they believe. What? Why would you do that? Because by and large, I'm rarely meeting somebody who's got the scriptures correct. In fact, we're going to talk on Monday about one of the verses in the Bible. It's only one verse long, and it has been so misinterpreted throughout the centuries, even in commentaries and everything. And it's a huge, long gospel difference, but we'll talk about this coming Monday at 3:05 p.m. At this point, did John Lennon really move towards this imagined thing that he hoped there was no religion, no possessions? It's kind of interesting that before he had died, it was pointed out to him that a Beatles reunion could possibly raise $200 million for poverty-stricken countries such as in South America. According to the article I'm taking a look at here by John Nolte, Lennon said he had no time for it. Here's a direct quote. "You know, America has poured billions into places like that. It doesn't mean a thing. After they've eaten that meal, then what? It lasts for only a day. After the 200 million is gone, then what? It goes round and round in circles." You see, this was not the 60s revolutionary who hung out with yippies and Black Panthers. Not only did Lennon dismiss his earlier efforts, he rejected the entire idea of social change through political action. He said, "I have never voted for anybody anytime ever. Even at my most so-called political, I have never registered and I never will. It's going to make a lot of people upset, but that's too bad." He did reveal that in the 60s and 70s, he dabbled in so-called politics, but more out of guilt than anything. Guilt, he says, for being rich. Guilt thinking that perhaps love and peace isn't enough, and you have to go and get shot or something, or get punched in the face to prove I'm one of the people. I was doing it against my instincts. In the song you just heard, the definitive song for John Lennon, Imagine, he famously dreams of a world with no possessions. but the mature Lenin explicitly disavowed such naive sentiments. "I worked for money. I wanted to be rich," he said. "If that's a paradox, then I'm a socialist. But I'm not anything. What I used to be is guilty about money, because I thought money was equated with sin. I don't know. I think I got over it, because I either have to put up or shut up, you know. If I'm going to be a monk with nothing to do, do it. Otherwise, if I'm going to try and make money, make it. Money itself isn't the root of all evil." In fact, John Lennon, who famously called for imagining a world with no religion, also jettisoned his anti-theism. "People got the image I was anti-Christ or anti-religion," he said. "I'm not at all. I'm a most religious fellow. I'm religious in the sense of admitting there is more to it than meets the eye. I'm certainly not an atheist." In fact, I remember the time that he made the comment that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. Boy, did he get a lot of flack for that. But in a sense, he was absolutely correct, because the youth in Britain were flocking to the Beatles concerts and were not flocking to church. And that's what he meant, that he was more popular. He didn't like the idea, he said. He considered Jesus to be far better than the Beatles. But it was a thought that he had, that obviously he's kind of more popular. It's kind of like youth today are flocking to entertainment worship services rather than word and sacrament services. That's just a fact. So Jesus isn't as popular for many youth today, because if they're not entertained, they're not going to stay in the church. Well, what I found really interesting in this article is John Lennon was a deep thinker, and he rejected evolution. This is a quote. "Nor do I think we came from monkeys, by the way. That's another piece of garbage. What is it based on? We couldn't come from anything. Fish maybe, but not monkeys. I don't believe in the evolution of fish to monkeys to men. Why aren't monkeys changing into men now? It's absolute garbage." Isn't that interesting? So John Lennon sang lyrics that he knew would sell, even though he knew he didn't believe them. He just was not of that point of view, that he could be saying to people that being rich was wrong. And if you listen carefully to Imagine, we're not going to play it again, but, you know, when he talks about there's no heaven, no hell below us, the kind of heaven and hell that you mainly hear so often is not the heaven or hell I believe in either. It's a heaven or hell, as with all other religions, that you get to heaven on the basis of how good you are, and you go to hell on the basis how bad you are. This is so contrary to the Christian faith. People who go to heaven are really, really, really bad people, like me, who are poor, miserable sinners, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So we end up having a situation where we really can't tell the true belief of someone just by listening to their songs. You've really got to go deeper and listen to their interviews. Yeah, the Beatles were really something in their day. What's replaced it, I'm not sure. It depends how old you are and what kind of music you like. But I like listening to music to see what are people thinking about. Because music is often, particularly the words, a reflection of the worldview of people today. You see, the religion John Lennon was speaking out against is the religion that would cause wars. He said he hoped there was a time there would be nothing to die for. That doesn't mean that, in my opinion, that he was saying that you don't want to ever get to a point where you would die for anything. No, I think what he was saying is you don't want to have a world where that's going to have to happen, where people are going to so hate you because of your point of view that you're going to have to die for it. Well, which could start coming up. If not die, really be attacked, as we're seeing from the homosexual movement right now, particularly in the United States, how they're attacking Christians who believe the Word of God, as though we're the people that are out of sorts with God, when in reality, those who practice homosexuality are the abomination before God. Time magazine had a very interesting article that the more particularly young boys that come out of the closet and say that they're homosexual, the more increased are the suicides. And I was listening to a program last night where the person was trying to give the impression that Christians are the ones responsible for these suicides. That would be like no longer being against murder, because when murderers hear that what they've done is wrong, they commit suicide, and therefore you have to blame the people who speak against murder. Or why so many women have traumatic psychological problems when they have an abortion. It may take a few years for that to come around, and then Christians get blamed for it because we're speaking out against abortion. That would be like speaking out against Jews in Hitler's day, and Jews get upset so they start committing suicide, and that's ridiculous. We're living in a world where Satan is alive and well and doing his very best to attempt to get people to leave the Christian faith. The fact of the matter is as we read the Scripture, the Bible is never on trial. You are. Do you come to a point where you no longer fight against the Holy Spirit and you now believe the Word of God, even though it's really quite ridiculous, without any evidence at all of its veracity, except the Word of God? As Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things unseen, the evidence of things unseen. If you'd like to call about John Lennon or anything else, this is Open Mic Friday, so you don't have to stay on topic. This would be a good time to do so. We got a few minutes before the break. And instead of waiting till the end, numbers are 505-7850. That's in the St. Louis area. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. That's 505-7850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. I've been telling you that I'm kind of doing some work on a item. It's actually a talk room. And a Michael Robinson just wrote a post on it. He was talking about there's a new way of thinking about evolution, where people are saying, you know, there's no problem with it. And he has a quote from Darwin that I never heard before. Here's what Charles Darwin wrote. "With me, the horrid doubt always arises whether the convictions of man's mind, which has always been developed from the mind of lower animals, are of any value or at all trustworthy. Would anyone trust in the convictions of a monkey's mind, if there are convictions in such a mind? The likelihood of human faculties being reliable, given naturalistic evolution, would be low. And concerning accounting for immutable universals, impossible." Now, what do they mean by that? If you are an evolutionist, then you believe that you got your thoughts, they began as a monkey, and then you kind of worked up until you're a human being. How do you know your convictions are all trustworthy or of any value at all? The animals don't have any convictions, such as you shall not murder. Try and teach a lion not to kill another animal and eat it. That will come about, as Peter Kurowski mentioned yesterday, as we talked about his book, Animals in Heaven. That will come about in heaven, according to Isaiah, where it says the lion will eat straw. And animals that are normally antagonistic toward each other will lie together, beside each other. Even a little baby can be in the midst of them, or even at the hole of a snake, a poisonous snake, and nothing will happen. You have a choice. You can believe what came about, which really monkeys believe, or you can believe the Word of God. And the two are diametrically opposed. Yeah, evolution really has no values. There's no reason why you have to follow the values of anyone else, because evolution is a survival of the fittest, which means the strongest. So I'm not even sure why we even have rules against murder in an evolutionary state, because we certainly don't put lions in jail when they, eat something else. No. That's just the natural way. And if homosexuality is now the natural way, which is totally contrary to nature, then what are the arguments for any kind of morality? If you're an evolutionist, there's no God. There's no place you can turn to and say, thus saith. It's just your imagination. It's just your opinion. So keep your opinion to yourself. And in other words, don't be thinking at all that it's true. The article by Michael Robinson, they have a... It's kind of a drawing of a monkey becoming kind of like an ape, and then a two-legged man, and then he starts bending over again until he's typing on a computer. It's kind of comical. Yeah, somebody said if you could get a bunch of monkeys together and they started hitting a computer typewriter, that in time you could have a Shakespearean play. Well, the odds of that are so infinitesimal, it really wouldn't come about. And that's why you have to have billions and billions and billions of years for these things to occur, because it just doesn't really happen. We're going to be going to the break. We don't have time to take anybody at this point. See some up right now, so when we get back, if you're still on the line, we'll go to you. Numbers are 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel here on listener supported KFUO Radio, which is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we're talking about John Lennon. We talked about evolution, and I've got a whole bunch of emails here that we can address also. But if you've got something on your mind, don't hesitate to call 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727.
Coming up on the Bible Study Replay, tonight at 6:05, we wrap up the sixth chapter of the first letter to Timothy from St. Paul. When he calls Timothy a man of God, is there a distinction to be made between a man of God in the Old Testament and a man of God in the New Testament? Dr. Reed Lessing was our guest pastor for the Bible Study, and he had some interesting insights that you can hear again tonight at 6:05.
exclusively underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Jeske from Time of Grace. Did you know that in addition to hearing Time of Grace every Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on KFUO, you can also see Time of Grace every Sunday morning? Watch us on ABC 30 every Sunday morning at 6:30 for some straight talk and real hope.
Saturday mornings at 11:30 on KFUO Radio.
If you had a time machine, where would you go? Would you explore the future, watch history in the making, or maybe fix a past mistake? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller. We all have things that we'd like to change, but we can't go back in time. Here's Chuck Colson with some needed perspective about what can make for a better future.
I wasn't the dad I should have been when these kids were growing up, my kids. And I've tried to make up for lost time and lost ground. But I, today, would put on the scale of priorities in life of the most important things in the world. My relationship after my relationship with Christ is my relationship with my family, and I had never really appreciated that.
Some wise advice from Chuck Colson there, sharing about keeping first things first. There's no going back, but today you can invest in your family, and you'll reap the benefits for generations to come. For more trusted advice, go to focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Of all the great causes to support, which one is for you? Food banks, shelters, churches all need you to make a difference. Hi, I'm Phyllis Wallace. You see the need. What holds you back? Meet two people who did not come from money, but came into money, which they now give away in large sums. Why, how, and what's the payoff? Next time, Woman to Woman.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
KFUO Radio can be heard around the globe 24 hours a day in stereo. You can listen on your iPhone or other smartphones on the go wherever you are. Go to the iTunes Store, search KFUO for our free iPhone app, or visit Wonder Radio, Wonder spelt with a U, for a radio app for other devices. Take KFUO Radio with you where you are, on your smartphone, computer, or radio. KFUO reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Tom Baker back here on Law and Gospel, and this Friday, the 15th of July. And we're going to go to the phone lines at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go speak to James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor.
How can I help you?
Yes, I listened to you as you were speaking a little bit about John Lennon and his song Imagine. And I was wondering, do you consider yourself as a part of that greatest generation, World War II?
I was born after World War II.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure what's the greatest generation.
Well, I've heard them refer to that as the ones who went off and to fight in that particular war and to come back post that war and...
Well, you also had people went to Korean War and then Vietnam War. I consider them great soldiers also. So.
Oh, not the soldiers. I was just talking about the generations. Like they say, Generation X or Boomers.
Right. Okay, and Millennium and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I ask,
I'm certainly not a Boomer.
Okay. Okay. Well, the reason why I ask, I would like your Law and Gospel understanding of some verses out of old Blue Eyes song, My Way.
Yeah, I'm going to do it my way, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, yes.
Yes.
I guess the particular verse is the one that says, I've loved, I've laughed, I've cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, but now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing. For what is a man? What has he got? if not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took my blows and did it my way. How do you understand that in law and gospel terms, and isn't that even more against God or than what the Imagine song would be saying? And I'll hang up and listen to you.
Well, no. I, before you hang up, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
I'm thinking of somebody who could sing that, and I'm just wondering if you think they would. And that's Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why you call here, in order to get wows. I don't know if we'll get eight wows. but listen, you know, and now the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. I mean, that's the cross.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way. I didn't do it the way the disciples wanted me to do it. I did it the way the Father wanted me to do it, which, of course, since he and I are one, we both did it. Well, what I find in a lot of songs is if you would just spiritualize them, they really fit well.
Wow.
With God himself. Like regrets. I've had a few. Well, yeah. He regretted when he went to Nazareth that they didn't believe in him.
That is amazing. I
did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the way, and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
Wow. Would you believe that Frank Sinatra would have had that kind of construct?
No.
When he was making
No. But he is imagining like Lennon was.
Uh-huh.
Boy, if I could have it this way. And they don't realize that in Christ it is that way. In heaven there is no religion. There is nobody who's hungry. We're all one brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that's part of our mindset. Romans 1 says, you know there's a God. The trouble is, we always end up worshiping the creation rather than the God. And so a lot of the songs that are worshiping the creation are just perfect if you just substitute Jesus in there instead of what they're worshiping.
That's amazing. I always looked at my way as some sort of rugged individualist.
Well, that's what happens anthem. With sinful man.
Anthem, yes.
Yeah, with sinful man, you get the Peter who says, well, you going to Jerusalem, I'll make sure I protect you. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan.
Uh-huh.
So if Frank Sinatra is having that rugged individualism, the reason that is a goal is because inside of every one of us, that's what we really wish we could do. And none of us can except Jesus.
Wow. Once again, you have to think with your heart and not your head. I have to.
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks for calling. God bless.
God bless.
I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And we're only too happy to... Maybe you got a tune or something that... a song, and you're wondering, boy, is there anything religious in it? In fact, I'm thinking of, I've got one song. It's a fella singing about his girlfriend, but everything he says about her, I say about Jesus. You know, it's just, well, we may do that in the next couple of weeks and show you how songs not only reflect what God is really like, but unfortunately, because we're fallen, we move it over into something that's of creation. And we're taking a look at the created things rather than the things that are real. If you'd like to call in on anything, the numbers are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, One other item that I'd like to talk about is, of course, yesterday's Animals in Heaven. We've already received a bunch of orders for that. So if you would like a copy of it, normally it's going to be $8 plus postage and handling, but we'll pay the postage and handling. It's just $8. And even if you get four or five or six, we'll pay all the postage. One lady ordered four copies to give to her friends. Animals in Heaven, Pets in Paradise by Peter Kurowski. You can either email me requesting it at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Remember, name, phone number, and address. Or you can phone the 800 number, 1-877, then 262, and then 1962. Oh, I got that wrong. It's 1-877-267-1962. 1-877-CMS-1962. Animals in Heaven, Pets in Paradise. And we're going to go back to Paradise and talk to Rick on the phone. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Pastor Baker. I'm just in Nashville. Hi.
Yes.
Some people may think it's Paradise, but I'm just in Nashville.
Well, boy, some of those... you know, there's that movie on... it's an hour. It's called Memphis. And they play music during a lot of... It's about a policeman and such, but it is one of the best I've seen. So,
really?
I tell you, you aren't that far.
A trailer on it.
Okay.
Pretty good. Okay, okay. The John Lennon song, Imagine. Back in those days, I'm 56. And back in those days that I know of, I was nowhere near the Lord. In these days that we walk now, I've got a close walk with the Lord. And there was a song that came out, I don't know, 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I Can Only Imagine.
And oh, yes.
Yeah. Talk about a 180-degree turn. But the one song that I called about is back in the 70s, Debbie Boone came out with this song, You Light Up My Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, for years, realized that that was supposed to be a Christian release talking about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because when it made it on the scene, boy, I didn't hear anything about Jesus Christ within those words. It was a big seller, and I think for, like you said, like the Beatles had more at their concerts than what was back in the churches. And, well, I guess that's where I was at back
yes.
in those days. You know, I had more of a mindset. Today, if I would have heard that song for the first time, I would have made a connection.
Which song?
The Light Up, You Light Up My Life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, Whitney Houston sang that also.
I did not know that.
Right. I don't know. It goes, so many nights I'd sit by my window waiting for someone to sing me his song. So many dreams I kept deep inside me alone in the dark. Now you've come along and you light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my nights with song. I mean, if you understand that she's talking about Jesus or somebody is, you know.
Right, right.
It just really fits. You light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my nights with song.
I know you mentioned a lot of secular songs. If you just tweak it just a little bit, it could be a Christian song so easily. And I know Gloria Estefan. She's got some fantastic songs. You change one word and boom.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe it. I started listening to some of her stuff, and I thought, you know, you just tweak that a little bit. You're there.
Yeah. The reason for that, Rick, and I'm really glad you called, is because people are imagining or hoping or looking for that which they think would right. work well in their life, and they don't understand that the benefits they're singing about we've already got in Christ.
Amen.
And whether or not the person, in Patty Boone's case, I could understand, probably, yes, she is thinking about that. But John Lennon, he probably wasn't.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
All right, sir. You have a good day, and I hope to see you at the bookstore sometime, and I will have more time to talk.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to have you there. 2126 Woodson, and for sure, at least this Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm not going to be there next Saturday, but we'll see. Thanks so much for calling.
I'll bring the soda. You bring the White Castle.
Oh, I'm going to have popcorn and everything.
Okay. All right, later.
All right, bye. I'm Tom Baker, and you don't have to bring any soda or White Castles. In fact, I'm not allowed to sell food. I don't have that kind of license, but I am working with just to give out free popcorn. I've got a popcorn maker that I had made or had used at another location, and we'll see what happens here. This is kind of an interesting direction we went today. I wasn't really planning on that, but it's something that we need to understand. When people are doing poems, when they're doing songs, you just need to understand how many times those songs are reflecting God's character, his attitude towards you, but they don't realize it because they're trying to hope for the best that they can find. Let's go back to the phone lines right now, and let's speak with Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Pastor. I just heard you say that God is good. His character is absolutely good. But a few weeks ago, I thought you said that in the matter of conversion or salvation through Jesus alone, that one didn't have to know anything about the character of God to receive it. Or afterwards, I guess you're just talking about afterwards, after conversion, you recognize that it's good. Is that what you mean?
Boy, I'm trying to remember the context in which I said that. Adam and Eve.
Salvation.
Yeah, Adam and Eve didn't know the character of God as much as you and I do, because we've got so much of the scriptures, and yet when God made that promise to them about a Messiah coming through the seed of Eve in chapter 4, verse 1, Eve thinks that the birth of Cain is the birth of the Messiah. So they believed, yet they still didn't understand the character of God, that his patience is far longer than they had expected. So I'm not really sure what context I was saying that in, except something along that line. Can you remember anything else I said?
No, I was upset about it. Somehow I had some Reformed theology in my head, and it seemed like you were casting some doubt on his absolute goodness, which is not the case from what you just said. So
oh, no.
I just wanted to make certain. I guess I'm admitting my own ignorance or my own misinterpretation of what you said, because I can't remember the context.
Yeah, I might have been talking about whether we have evidence for God's goodness, I would say no, we don't.
Yeah, I guess in the natural mind, we don't have that knowledge until he specially saves us. Is that
no? Right? Until we have faith, because
yeah,
when
we have that faith, but he gives us faith because faith is the gift.
Yes, faith is a gift, and what faith does, it is a trust that God's promises are sure, and that's why I know he's good, because he promises, regardless what happens to me, whatever suffering I go through or negative consequences, it's always going to work out to my good. That's his promise, because he's God, and he can handle that. So his goodness comes from my conviction given to me by the Holy Spirit that God is supremely good. But if you're going to ask me for evidence that I can point to others, when one of my members comes down with terminal cancer, I look at her and say, you know, that's really good from God, she doesn't buy it.
Right, yeah. We have to trust beyond that.
Yes.
The heaven he's promised.
Absolutely. Well, Paul says it. You just said it well. If for this life only we have hope, we are of men most miserable.
That's true, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for enlightening me and maybe correcting, because if you had misunderstanding what I was saying or I said something wrong, I'm glad we corrected it.
I'm glad, too. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless, Ken. Good to hear from you. And our numbers are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. That's 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, I know Gloria Estefan was mentioned as somebody who really has real good lyrics, too. Whether or not she meant them, here's a song that she sings. It's Can't Stay Away From You. Now, just stop and think about that. Just the title itself. Can you spiritualize that one? No problem at all. I can't stay away from Jesus. Because what's staying away from Jesus is sin. Well, let's look at the lyrics and see. Time flies when you're having fun, I heard someone say, but if all I've been is fun, then baby, let me go. Don't want to be in your way. I don't want to be your second choice. Don't want to be just your friend. You keep telling me you're not in love. You want to throw it all away. But I can't stay away from you. I don't want to let you go. And though it's killing me, that's true. There's just some things I can't control. Your love is slipping through my hands, and though I've heard it all before, I know you're telling me the truth. I know it's just no use, but I can't stay away from you. Now, how can we look at that from a law gospel point of view? It appears when you first read the lyrics that Gloria Estefan is talking about a boyfriend who doesn't want to stay with her, but she wants to stay with him. And she's really upset because she's out of control. She can't control him. You know, as I think about it, most Christians think about God in exactly this way. What way? They don't want to leave God, but they think that God is leaving them. One of the most often said statements by Christians after going through a difficult time in their lives, they'll come to the pastor and say, Pastor, what did I do to deserve this? And if you ask him at that point, what do you think, God's not keeping his side of the bargain, so to speak? And they'll say, yes, I don't understand. Why? Because we take a look around us and think that God is not really for us, because we have so little evidence for that when things go wrong in our life. And that's why Ken's call was so important. What assures us that God is not only our friend, but one who will not leave us, is his promises, not our experience. Do you understand the difference that I'm speaking about here? It's really quite different. Promises on the part of God than experiences from God. It'll be kind of interesting. Let me look at another one here. By Gloria Estefan. This is another set of lyrics that she has, and see if we can see anything in this particular song. Think about you know. Is it worth the time to bring back a forgotten rhyme? Our paths have changed, but I can see you'll always be a part of me. How can I pretend that this affair has reached the end, when every day I see your face in everything and every place? And I think about you now, it won't be long before I'll be with you somehow, and I've got to make you see that no one else could have the same effect on me and make me feel the way I do, and I think about you now. Now, There's no doubt she's talking about a boyfriend. But do you see how close that is to Christian thinking? Our paths have changed, but I can see you'll always be a part of me. That's the Christian thought. That every day the path, I go a different direction than God does. I like the broad road. I like the sinful road. But the affair has not reached the end, because every day I see God's face in everything and every place. And that is definitely through faith. Kind of something interesting we ran across today. And let's go back to the phone lines. Is this James again?
Yes, Pastor.
You're only allowed once
half
hour, so you're allowed today. This is the second one.
But no, we're really enjoying this today, and I guess we didn't follow our regular line of things of waiting and trying to see how the program was going. So what we'd like for you to do is take a look at Keep Your Head to the Sky by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Keep Your Head to the Sky. By Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's not one I'm that familiar with.
Okay.
But
are you able to pull it up, or should I read a couple of verses?
This is KFUO, listener supported.
Yes.
What do you mean, can we pull it up? Now, if you give us more money, we can pull it up even faster. But we're pretty good at...
Okay. Well, I'd like you to give us the Loin Gospel, because that's one of our favorites. Is we were looking back, my wife and I, in school.
Uh-huh.
We would be in Sunday school looking at each other with dove's eyes. So could you tell us, is there a Loin Gospel application in Keep Your Head to the Sky?
Okay. You know, you always phone when there's about 2 minutes left.
I know.
And it says the lyrics here.
Uh-huh.
H-I-J-K. Huh. Okay, here we go. Now, I'm hoping it's going to come up, because the item I'm on doesn't seem to be bringing it up right.
Okay.
So why don't you... Okay. Master told me one day I'd find peace in every way, but in search for the clue, wrong things I was bound to do. Now, Master, would that be Jesus?
Yes, we always thought it.
Yes,
we would like to,
absolutely.
We would like to hear your take on it.
Now, you see, the life of the Christian isn't one of doing good works. The life of the Christian is repentance. So let's see what verse 2 says. Keep my head to the sky for the clouds to tell me why, as I grew and with strength, Master kept me as I repent. And he said, keep your head to the sky, keep your head to the sky. You know who was keeping their head to the sky? The disciples on the Mount of Ascension.
Yes.
And I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but... you know, that'll be a little assignment for you.
Okay.
Start looking at hymns and see if they can be spiritualized, because within each one of us, what we're really talking about is Jesus.
Thank you so very much.
God bless.
God bless.
Tom Baker, be back on Monday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.